This is The Film Effect with Tiff.
Jake, my boyfriend.
It's snowing.
Winter is coming in.
We have a real connection. A rare and intense attachment. I've never experienced anything like it. I'm thinking of ending things.
Huh?
What?
Did she say something?
I don't think so.
Weird.
I'm visiting Jake's parents for the first time. He hasn't been my boyfriend for very long.
They really are looking forward to meeting you.
I think of ending things.
It's over.
What the fuck just happened? I'm not joking. Did you like that?
It's out of focus.
Oh my god.
This is the tiniest credits I've ever seen in my life.
Wait.
I have stomach cramps.
It's over?
Alright, we just finished the, I'm thinking of ending things, which I am now. After watching that, and I don't understand anything that happened. I'm just a little bit...
No, I'm
very affected, actually.
I need to say a couple things about myself.
Speak.
The first thing
Nicole's with me.
The first thing I want to say is I'm questioning my own existence, and I don't know who I am.
You also said about 3/4 in that you were clinically depressed.
I'm clinically depressed. I feel like I'm having an existential crisis, and I don't know who I am, and I'm scared to look in the mirror. That's how I feel right now. And having said all those things, I have no idea one seriously bit what that movie was about.
Do you think it was good?
No. Did you?
I don't know.
Well, there you have it. Live. Right from the bed. Me and my wife, Nicole, as we just finished watching I'm Thinking of Ending Things. And now I bring you a strange mashup. Me and my friend Tom get together after this to discuss this film after I forced him to watch it. Subtly, but sort of forced him, but he was willing. And we have a show called The Full Send with Tom and Tiff that we do where we review coffee, we chat about topics, whatever's in our brain. And yeah, it's a little bit like this movie, actually. So buckle up if you're ready. If you haven't seen it, pause right here and then take a listen to a fun chat with me and my buddy Tom as we try to figure out what the hell this movie's about. Enjoy.
Press your lips against the microphone. I woke up on Angel Island in your arms. Hi.
The smell of burning bridges and the
sound of those. I love the smell of burning bridges.
Same.
Should have stayed in bed. Is it that kind of day?
Man, what is this?
It's deep.
It's deep.
It's heavy.
It's funny, your microphone is on the side.
What's up, dog?
It's deep. I'm going to put mine on the floor. Every time I speak, I have to go under the table. Yeah?
Yeah, 10-4.
Let's make it up here. Like your lips
were only made. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. Welcome to the Full Send
with TNT
Film Effect.
Boom!
Oh, are we
smash
doing
smash up?
Are we doing a smash up today?
We're smashing it.
Nice.
We're gonna smash it with cookies and coffee and.
Oh, because you made me watch that movie.
Yeah, man.
I'm never gonna get those 2 hours back in my life. Why that movie?
Because I needed someone to join me in the pain.
How did you drag?
Sorry.
How did you fall into that movie?
How does anyone fall into anything?
First of all, there is a naked old man in the movie, which is never good.
No, I was actually... Tell me when you're ready to get into this, and we'll... Let's just start our morning, afternoon, alternate dimension combo.
This is actually Train. Do you like Train?
I think so.
So good.
I do like some Train.
Go on.
I like to
pull a train.
Ride trains. And I like to. I miss train travel as like an economical.
Back in the day.
I don't know. I remember, like, I'll tell you my one experience with trains.
Go on.
And it doesn't involve fornication.
I might open these cookies.
They look good, man. I'm hungry.
I'm so hungry. I ran
guys!
This
morning. Guys, did you?
Oh, look. Not concerned about the environment. They have double packaged.
Dude, they got to do what they got to do.
You ready?
They're just freaking biscuits. Oh, my God.
There's a biscuit for you.
They come in their own. This is like when you're on an airplane. So we have today, let me take you on a journey.
Three biscuits.
We've got Lotus Biscoff.
Oh, Biscoff.
Biscoff. Cookies, biscuits. Whoa. The small cookie, unique taste. Little coffee cup on the front. And we are going to drink some coffee. I think this company does this
cookie, but without the chocolate.
Can I tell you the story of Biscoff?
Please.
How can a small cookie taste so great?
I don't know.
The story of Lotus Biscoff starts in 1932 in a local bakery in Limbeck, a Belgian town.
I love that place.
Limbeck. Mm. The unique
recipe. That's where I was born.
Was it?
As a matter of fact.
Were you born with a biscuit in your mouth?
Hello. Hello.
You were born in Limbeck. Limbeke.
If you're born with a... Never mind. Go ahead.
Fine. I mean, this is long, but carefully selected natural ingredients. Today, Lotus Bakeries is still family-owned and based in the hometown. Its hometown. The tasteful cookie continues to conquer the world. It's secret? It has a secret.
Go for it.
Its unique flavor, iconic shape, and crunchy bite.
So this is like a ginger snap.
It is. And for many, I'm still going.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's their cup of coffee's best companion. It is. For others, it's just an irresistible treat on its own.
Well, why don't you fill my horn with coffee?
Let's dip this motherfucker in.
Dip that bitch in the coffee.
Let's do it.
Fill my horn.
You didn't even wait because you just broke right in.
I'm starving.
I'm opening the package.
I haven't eaten anything yet.
Listen to that.
Oh, my God.
It's the ASMR version
of
Full
Send. Use some of that KY. Sounds dry. Yeah.
That's also the sound of your coffee companion.
That's you having sex in 50 years. Go ahead.
Or the moment you lost your virginity. Okay, sorry.
Your labias are crispy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
So why don't you tell everybody about the movie I made you watch?
All right, so... I guess we are doing a mashup today. This is the Full Send with TNT and the Film Effect with Tiff.
That's right.
So Tiffany reached out to me the other day and asked me if I would watch a movie. And the movie is called I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Don't do it.
I'm like, oh, that sounds great. She in the text, a real head scratcher. I was like, okay.
I think that should be what they put on the movie trailer, you know. It's just like...
Well, I went back after I watched the movie and read the movie trailer, and I realized how vague they are.
I know. They don't know how to explain it.
They don't even know how to explain this movie.
They're lost. No.
I can imagine... First thing I imagine is this guy showing up and going, listen, this is my movie idea. At one point, and we'll go over the movie, but there was one point, and I don't know if you remember this, but after they've left the parents and they're driving home, she's talking... And then all of a sudden, she turns into a different person.
Oh, yeah. She starts talking differently.
Well...
Like, her personality totally changes.
Well, her face changed. It was
a
different
person. And her job changes, like, every single time.
Yeah.
That's actually my favorite part when she starts talking like a film critic. Or...
a poet.
Well, first she's a poet, and then later she's like a...
Psychiatrist?
Gets upset about that song.
Hmm.
Baby, yeah, it's I cold didn't know that. Outside.
Did you know that? It's a song about
date
rape.
I've heard that before.
I'm like, oh, what a great song. It's about date rape.
Yeah.
Roofie.
You really should stay.
I need to go.
Yeah, she's like, I want to leave, but baby, it's cold outside.
Hmm. Well.
He's convincing her to stay so he can molest her. That's what some people
that's
say.
That's just like Bruce Springsteen. Now Bruce Springsteen's in the news because he's now said that if Trump wins, he's leaving.
We took it to politics.
Oh, shit.
I'm kidding. Okay.
He used to sing that song. It was...
Oh, my God. This is too good.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did it go and leave you all alone? Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
I got a bad desire.
Yes. Oh.
I'm on fire.
That will cost you $10, that download. Look for it later.
That, but
Tom and Tiff sing Bruce Springsteen's greatest hits.
That's a little shady too, right?
Would you like Would you like another pack?
Don't choke. Here you go.
Hold on.
I say let's eat them all.
I'm trying to throw with my fucking wrong hand.
Are you amphibious? Go ahead. Hit me in the face with it. Bam! Oh,
man. You let
That's
going to
leave a mark.
Damn. Okay, right. So we also have, before we get into this movie that will hurt your head.
Yes.
Or scratch it, whatever you
decide.
You know
what's probably going to hurt your head is that me trying to explain it.
No, well, I will say that this movie, I just learned that this movie was actually a book that he adapted pretty much verbatim. So now that makes me even wonder, how do you read this goddamn book? Right?
Right.
It's all crazy now. There's a book first, and then this is the adaptation of the book.
I mean, 9 times out of 10, you usually get it all figured out by the end of the movie, right? It all kind of comes together.
I guess not for him.
This movie didn't. It never came together. I never
Charlie.
Understood. In fact, it was more confusing in the last 7 seconds than it was the whole movie.
It was so crazy. And let's talk about coffee that we had.
So first of all,
go ahead.
You had me watch it. We watched it. We're going to talk about it. Is it a movie to recommend?
No, I don't think so.
No, not even recommend.
I think that if you want to be involved in this conversation of like pop culture or just whatever you would call like a movie of a time that is interesting, that freaked out, you know, that is this, that's like, man, what the hell was that? This is a movie that you just watch because you've heard other people talk about it and you go, I don't know, man, but now I need to see what that is.
Well, I double dog dare anybody to watch it.
Please watch it.
Yeah.
Let's start a club. No. Let's start the I'm Thinking of Endings Club.
I'm thinking about watching it.
I'm thinking about watching it. I'm thinking about it. Don't do it.
I think I got chocolate on my lips.
I haven't tried this coffee yet, but I'm really wanting to. So I brought the coffee today.
Yep.
Applause, please. Thank you. Woo! I actually did it.
Well, because the last three ones,
yeah, man.
I bought all at the same time just so we wouldn't forget.
I know.
We almost forgot.
That's why it's late, because I was...
Go on. God, I can hear that. Your dentures are really cracking open the cookie.
ASMR.
Oh, my God.
Gross. Okay.
Man, your mouth is juicy.
That's why I thought I needed some water, but these cookies are...
delicious.
They're good. So I stood in the aisle...
Okay.
Staring at the coffee wall.
Yep.
And this called out to me.
I'm surprised that's the best you could do.
It's pretty bad.
It's on sale, too. Were you at Giant?
I was at...
Because it's on sale at Giant.
Safeway. I just wanted something to make me laugh.
Okay.
And the 12-year-old boy in me saw this and went, that's it.
And go ahead and read the name of the coffee.
It's Pete's Coffee, but the roast is Major... Dickinson's blend. It's incomparable world blend, rich, complex, and full bodied.
I don't think
that's not full bodied?
Do those shoes go with that dress?
I can't see it.
Look over there. You got to lean over. I think that I'm watching a fumble, right? And
this is requiring me to like no.
No. Okay. Just checking.
Tom just went into the fashion police.
Nope, I'm going to hit her with a penalty fine.
He's like, that doesn't match.
That does not match.
I don't like your fashion.
And she's rich. She's a rich gal.
But like, what's funny about coffee things is like full bodied. Nobody would put half bodied on here. Why even put that on there? Sounds good, right?
Well, yeah, right.
You're not going to say like a little body, but not much.
No, I'm not going to say that.
Full.
Not my favorite. I'm not a big fan of the full body. I prefer the half body.
The petite body?
I do.
Fine. Well, anyway, Major Dickinson is here.
Who?
Major Dickinson.
I wonder if he's housing a relation to Cunnilingus. He's a... sounds like a family,
sounds like
old
that could
family
be a whole,
friend.
That could be the next sketch.
Edith Pushy.
Did you know the Major's coming today?
Oh, tell the Colonel.
Major Dickerson is here.
Cunnilingus, how are you? Nice to meet you,
welcome.
Sir.
I haven't even tried this coffee.
I'm drinking it. It's already good.
All right, let's go.
All right, here, let's try it.
Do you enjoy this sale, Pete's boring whatever?
What did you pay for this dump?
I don't know.
Coffee.
Sorry.
You know.
I know. Pete's is like...
$4.99, huh?
There's no story.
You skimped on a sale.
Why do they even have to have a story?
Don't read the story.
Alfred Pete.
It makes it more personal. You're like, oh my God, I really get
this story. In 1966, he quietly ignited a revolution that forever changed the expectations of American coffee drinkers.
No, Folgers. Folgers had a revolution, not Major Pete.
You had a coffee revolution? Really?
Yeah, that's funny, because it's
Can
on sale.
Can you write anything on a bag? Can you just just make up facts? In 1823, the coffee wars began.
Well, this is our 900th
The fight
podcast.
Over the perfect bean started with Pete.
Yeah, and it's bullshit, Pete, so stop. No revolution.
I think we should make our own coffee.
Okay.
Let's have a venture.
Let's do...
Let's
what would it be?
Create
what would it
our
say?
Own coffee.
Full Send Coffee Half Body?
Yes.
And the full body shows when you put that extra arrogant scoop in. Fucking coffee lovers. You know, that's what the problem with coffee is. You leave it up to the people to make
on.
It.
Come
it
on.
Needs to be made a certain way. And if you Ooh. Add that extra scoop because you want to put cream.
Well, I do, but I will say, as I have drank the past couple coffees black.
Yeah.
This isn't good.
No.
Do you like this?
Yeah.
I do. I mean, I like it too. But I
do
don't
like it, and actually,
love
I mean, let's
it.
Get into.
All right, hold on.
Coffee's weird, man. You're in love with something that tastes like shit, right?
How dare you?
I know.
How
but it's,
dare you?
You're like, this is
what is your problem?
This is me. Ready? Okay, I got my coffee. I'm like, okay, here I go. Tastes like shit, but I love it.
But that's not. It's because you even added the sweetness.
No. I'm finding all the shit
Are
notes.
You?
I'm finding every pointy, pointy, sharp part of this turd cup that I can.
Let's see if it tastes better if I dip this Lotus cookie in. I almost dropped the whole cookie in my drink. All right, here we go.
The whole cookie. It's like 2 inches.
I like it. It's just petite and not full-bodied.
But watch how quick that chocolate leaves from the cookie.
You're right, Lotus. Damn.
Yeah.
This is a sensory experience.
That's the first time I've ever seen something dark in your mouth.
All right, so...
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say...
12-year-old boy would understand that joke.
This will be posted on my Film Effect podcast page. And for all the listeners that listen to this, who have never listened to this, me and Tom, full sending...
We're crossbreeding.
Welcome to the other side.
It's kind of like welcome. It's like when Michael Jackson asked Eddie Van Halen to play the solo in his... super hit song, Beat It.
I didn't know that happened.
You didn't?
No.
Dude, Michael Jackson was brilliant. He's all, how can we get the rockers?
You're doing it better than me. Isn't that song just about, you know what? Just beat it.
That guitar solo, I remember, I was like, I love Michael Jackson.
Who didn't?
Eddie Van Halen. Oh, no, Eddie Van Halen liked him.
I mean, not until later did everyone hate him.
The point was, is what we're doing here today is similar to that amazing moment where Michael Jackson
Bam!
Brought all of Van Halen fans into the Michael Jackson world. We will now be bringing all of the Film Effect fans into the Full Send, vice versa.
Come on over.
Come on over. Just like an Eddie Van Halen guitar lick.
That's right. And you know what? Two good things that... Something. That need to... It
sounds like a Reese's Cup
join.
Commercial.
Right.
Two good things, chocolate and peanut butter. All right, let's sip it.
It's the truth is what it is.
I had chocolate and peanut butter last night.
Truth.
I did it last night.
You did it. All right, so what are we doing?
I thought we were going to drink the coffee.
Let's drink the coffee.
All right, here we go.
Major
officially.
Dickerson.
Who?
Dick.
Why don't you be Major Dickerson all the rest of the podcast, and I'll be Colonel Angus. Okay, here we go. Sip it.
Okay.
That is a serious, delicious cup of coffee.
Well, I think it needs a chocolate biscuit.
I'm going to put my last biscuit into the coffee.
I love these cookies.
Lotus.
What a win.
Win-win.
Lotus, you called to me on the shelf. I'm so happy that you did. Everyone, if you're not eating these goddamn things, please.
Well, they're like dirty-bottomed airplane cookies.
And you have to get them with the chocolate. I'm sorry. This is making all the difference.
Oh, my God.
It really is the best coffee companion. I agree. All right. So this movie, should we go?
Yeah, let's go.
Fine, let's go. Now, I really have to first say thank you.
Welcome.
For watching it, because I've told many people, and they won't do it. So you actually did.
I did it.
And I was surprised.
It took me 2 days.
I know, but you did. And I was like, he watched it. Holy shit.
So
tell me how your experience was.
So the premise
first.
Of the movie is.
First, I'll do this. Okay. Sorry. Before you start. This movie, if you're not sure what we're talking about, it's I'm Thinking of Ending Things. It's by Charlie Kaufman.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix for free.
You'll have to search for it because it's deep.
It was when it first came out, it was in the top lease releases, but now it's become not new. So it's buried. It's buried. Kaufman also did Being John Malkovich. He did Adaptation. He did a bunch, whatever. Many. Okay. There's many like films that he did. My favorite is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Okay.
Now that movie you should watch.
Oh, God.
No, that one's actually good, and that one isn't like, it's deep, but it comes together and it makes sense, and it's a good story about relationships. So I will highlight, and that movie was like up for an Academy, I think it was up for an award. So that one you should watch.
Okay.
And you will be happy you saw it. Jim Carrey's in it. He's awesome.
I love Jim Carrey.
Kate Winslet rocks
it. He plays the best.
So cool.
Joe Biden, Jim Carrey, Joe Biden.
He really
is awesome.
Uh-huh.
Doing the gun. So good. Coffee, man.
No,
my nose is getting a little runny.
And I put this cookie in my mouth and I can't stop now. So
come
you
again.
Go.
Come again. Say it again.
Your turn.
All right. Well, so the task was given to me and I took it on. I'm like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
My friend has asked me to do a solid, so I'm going to do it.
So thank you, sir.
I found the movie and my wife and I sat down and we started watching it. It starts off, the premise of the movie is basically a couple that have been dating.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe a few months. I don't know. Short time. And they decide to go visit his parents.
Yes.
Okay. Very simple.
Yes.
That's simple, right? Very simple. So they get in the car. And I would say if we broke this movie into three parts, the beginning and the end are driving in the car in the snow.
Lots of driving in the car.
Driving. And the other thing is
a lot of heavy conversation.
A lot of heavy conversation. And I had to put the subtitles on. I suggest you put the subtitles on.
Oh, did you need to do that?
Jake, who is the male character, is a bit of a mumbler.
Yes, he is.
He's not mumbling, but he's hard to understand.
And he's annoying. I think this actor is amazing, actually. He's been in a lot of things, but I did find his character to drive me up a goddamn wall. And I was thinking the whole time, sorry to interrupt you, I just took over.
Go ahead.
Just briefly, that just instantly in their relationship, I was like, how could she hang out with this guy? He is like...
Well, and the funny thing is she
wallpaper.
Is asking herself that at the same time.
Right.
And there's a part in the movie, so he pulls up and she gets in. Hey, they kiss, okay? And then... they start driving, and she starts to... There's a whole dialogue of her, in her head.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, I'm thinking of anything. And he goes, what? Like, he heard her thinking.
This is why I knew I wanted... See, this is also why I wanted you to watch this, because you, like...
Did you see that?
Yes. And there's a lot of stuff, but, like...
He implies, like, he heard her say something in her head.
Yeah.
So from that point on, I'm feeling like he's listening to everything she's saying. Like, he can hear it.
But he can't.
It's but
like
he did.
We're like with her.
Right.
A lot of the time.
Right.
Most of the time.
Right. So they're driving and they're talking.
In the beginning, at least.
And in the beginning, she is a physicist?
I don't know. Her job changes like five times.
Yeah, it changes multiple times during the movie. But
they
have very intellectual conversation. In fact, I was like, I don't know anything. You know, they're like poets and they're reading poetry.
I actually just found the poem that she says.
Oh, really?
It's like 3 minutes long. Should I play a second of it? Like just so you
can
hear?
Sure. Here.
Let's hear. Because actually when I saw it, I think the thing I said to you, and this is the one thing I will say about this whole movie, which is really hard to decipher and really hard to understand and frustrating to watch.
Here,
and
plug that in because it's making noise.
Okay, sorry. Is that the poem alone, like, almost made me cry.
Right.
Just the poem. I was like, that was insane. Like, right. That was an amazing poem.
And there's something to this movie that keeps you in it because...
Is it because we're looking for an ending, though? Or what is it?
I don't know. I know that a lot of times a movie that lacked is the excitement that this movie lacked, I would have probably changed it. I know I had to because you asked me to do it, but part of me was like, I can't turn this off. I don't know.
You're like, I need to know what fucking is going to happen.
Yeah, here. It's like really boring, but filled with a lot of intellectual back and forth poems and, you know, like, you know.
Yeah.
It's a trip. You're like, what is this?
Yeah, so, you're like, what is this? And then you're also like caught up in the conversation, like you said.
Right. So play so some you're of just, that.
Yeah. All right. Let's see if I can play. So there's a point in the car ride where he says something about, you know, your poem. And,
yeah. How's the poem going?
And why don't you read it? Tell me just, and she's like, I don't want to, you know, and he's like, just do it. Just, I love to hear your poems. You
yeah.
know?
Let's hear it. You know, I love your poems.
Hopefully this is it. Cause I'm hoping it is. Let's see. Are you hearing? Hold on. It's thinking. Come on, Tiffany. Okay.
Coming home is terrible. Whether the dogs lick your face or not. Whether you have a wife or just a wife-shaped loneliness waiting for you. Coming home is terribly lonely.
Pause it for a second.
So that you will think the oppressive barometric pressure back where you have just come from with fondness, because everything's worse once you're home.
That is,
think the verb.
That is so heavy. A wife or a wife shaped
of
loneliness.
Isn't that nuts? Just the beginning.
A wife shaped of loneliness.
It's like the most...
That's kind of like relevant, right?
It's like a sad, truthful, deep poem about... I don't know whether you I think what's cool about like a poem like this, and I don't read a lot of poetry. I used to when I was a kid, or when I was like in my teen years. I used to like think I was cool, and I'd be like, let me read this poem. Yeah. Let me write poetry.
Roses are red, and violets are blue. I love me and a little bit of you.
My docks speak my truth. Like, whatever. You just write dumb shit.
Clouds, beams. Hopeless dreams.
This is now the open mic poetry with Tom and Tiff.
I have a poem. But let's get, no, this is
but
good.
That,
that's,
I will, not, let's see, share this. Is,
this,
yeah.
is, this was part of the thing that I had to turn the subtitles on because in the movie you don't hear, you, it's hard to understand. Yeah. It's not like we're looking straight into her face. She's like hanging, tilted off, staring out the window at the snow, and she's reading this out of her mind, right? She's not, this she's, is all by memory.
Well, I think that she wrote it and she's reciting it, but he hasn't heard it yet. That was what I took from that. But
I mean, that opening line.
It's crazy.
A wife or a wife shaped of loneliness.
Yeah, I mean, and it goes on, and it is subtitled. Maybe I will post this link to this specific, since we're talking about it on the, you can post it too, maybe on Facebook or something. Should I keep going for a second?
Yeah.
All right, so oh here, God, we'll so shut up for one more minute.
Ice creams and the peculiar shapes of certain clouds and silences with longing because you did not want to return. Coming homes. Just awful. And the home style silences and clouds contribute to nothing but the general malaise. Clouds, such as they are in fact suspect and made from a different material than those you left behind. You yourself are cut from a different cloudy cloth. Returned. Remaindered. Ill met by moonlight. Unhappy to be back, slack in all the wrong spots, seamy suit of clothes, dish rag ratty, worn. Return home, moon landed, foreign. The Earth's gravitational pull, an effort now redoubled, dragging your shoelaces loose and your shoulders. Etching deeper the stems of worry on your forehead. You return home deepened, a parched well linked to tomorrow by a frail strand.
Maybe I shouldn't. All right, we're stopping.
Yeah, stop it.
It's very hard to understand some of it. I'm reading the subtitles so I can see, but I'm sure some of that sounds mumbly, and it's also
no, it sounded good, and it actually sounds clear. You
does
know,
it? Okay.
That shit is deep. The clouds met by moonlight.
Do you think it's about a man returning home and just his unsettled, like, burden of his life?
I have no idea.
That's what I thought it was about. It was sad to me.
I never really ever understood the poem. I was just like, what in the hell am I watching?
I really thought that poem, to me, was about that. It was about, like, a person coming home to their partner and their life.
Cookie.
Oh,
more
yeah,
cookie.
I know. We're going to eat this whole
yeah,
fucking
we're gonna
bag.
Yeah, we're
going to
eat the bag. We're like on
we're
a period.
We're going to end it with this cookie bag.
This is a period podcast.
All right, but this is the thing I think it's interesting is that, woo!
Thank you.
Is that, the movie is confusing and it's kind of all over. Like, it does pull you into different directions and you're trying to decipher, but then it has, like, an unconscious, like, effect on you.
Well, it also has a slightly brilliant side.
It's so smart. I will say, like, I could never think of anything like this. So I knew this is based on a book, and I think it's the same title. A lot of I think today, because I didn't do enough homework before I came here, but I will try to add that information to the...
Well, don't add anything. It's whatever you want
just
it to be.
Just go
I mean,
and find out yourself.
The,
it's
kind of
called
the cool
the
thing
interwebs.
That I'm going through right now is
yes,
that...
Yes, tell me.
I was a little confused. I was a little offed by the movie, but my biggest hang-up with this movie is not understanding all the things that were said. So, about halfway through, I put the subtitles on. But now, listening to that mm-hmm. poem, just that opening line, "Do you come home to a wife or a wife-shaped loneliness?" I mean, that is like very deep. And now I'm like, shit. I might
have to rewatch it.
Yeah, I might have to rewatch it because there's a reason why this became a movie. And it's
you
not,
ju-
yeah, there's some real, I mean, I do think that the back and forth with those two is very, they're like very well-read young people. And they're talking about subjects and poetry and just this stuff. And it kind of bounces around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't always stay on topic. It's mm-hmm. very strange. It's very confusing. But listening to that, her read that poem, that was pretty heavy, you know? Like the moonlight is met with the clouds are met with moonlight. Like,
just there's
it
so
kills
much.
Them. Yeah, it was great.
I think the whole movie is a metaphor for how we feel about relationships and a long relationship. Because I wanted to ask you not to jump to the end, but like, if you could figure out some kind of idea of what it was really about, what do you think it was really about? Like, whose story was it? By the end of this movie.
What I think it was about people not being able to grow old and die.
Really?
Yeah, because I felt like the guy in the janitor.
Yeah, the janitor.
Was Jake.
That's what I think everyone thinks. Yeah.
Right. And the parents, I don't know, I think they probably were like ghosts.
Probably.
I mean, they came out as one version.
They
and then
changed
he found
too.
Him upstairs in
my,
another
can
version.
My favorite is when they're up in the bedroom, and he has the dementia. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And everything is labeled Jake's bedroom.
Yep.
There's a whole conversation that happens in that room with her that was like really interesting to me, and now I forget it.
Well, with the dad?
Yeah. Around this concept of...
Well, she's like, this is, you know, she's telling her... He's talking to her about like having sex in that bed. Not there'll be no sex in this bed tonight.
But then he says something else towards the end that's like kind of about like how you can't. I'm telling you, I think this whole movie is a big play, like a big exercise in our memory of our lives. Because I took it as that he is the janitor, and that the janitor, what we're really watching is this kind of like play that this janitor is playing through his mind of his existence with this person, like his relationship of his whole life. And he's like, it's kind of like you can't remember things as they happened. So you kind of like, there's all these different ways and pieces it comes together.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not right. You know, like, does that make sense what I'm saying?
Mm.
Like if you were to, like, I'm if listening. You're old, like imagine you get really old.
Right.
And you're looking back on your relationship in some way and like kind of playing around with the feelings that you never processed, maybe like that you maybe shouldn't have stayed, or maybe it wasn't a good idea, and like all the factors that played into this relationship, and like when you met the parents, and you know, it's kind of funny. It actually reminds me of like when people get together and then they like tell someone else, like, well, what are his parents like? Well, they're like this and that. And then the other person's like, my parents aren't like that at all. Like, what right. are you talking about? Right? right. So we have our own take on like what we see in terms of like what the parents were like and like what the relationship was really like and the conversation we had in the car 3 years ago. And our memory sucks, right? Our memory is not true. And so part of this like confusion that I noticed, which was like the mother would be different and then she would be this person and then the father would be young and then he'd be old. Then she's dying in the fucking living room. And right. is that is kind of like if you're, I would imagine when you're older and you're towards the end of your life, it feels like your memories are doing that to you. Like, oh yeah, that didn't happen then. That happened like the other time we went to Thanksgiving dinner. Or so to me, that's the kind of crazy that I think he was trying to make us feel, which was like, this is what it feels like for this person who's like kind of remembering things in his day as a janitor. That's my, and I might be really taking it into a place sure. that I'm trying to make sense of this thing. And maybe there is no sense to make of it. And I'm just trying to make too much sense of it. But that overall feeling was what I felt, which was this, that's why everything looks so crazy and weird and confusing, is that piece, which is your
memory. Well,
the
other thing that this movie does is it's constantly leading you down this path, like something bad, like
almost like a haunted story.
The whole way down there, you're like, are they going to show up at his house? Is this house like, is this a real trip, or is he like taking her somewhere?
Right, and then the farmhouse.
Yeah,
which
and
is
then
a
all of a sudden
nightmare.
They show up at the yeah. farmhouse, and then you're like, are the parents? It's like you see the lady in the window, so you've seen them. And then he's like, no, we can't go in. They know I like to stretch my legs. I'm like, oh, he's going to go in the field and kill her.
Right.
No, they go and walk around and they look at like animals. And then they
dead
animals. Yeah, let's go in. They go in. We saw the mom. And then they're sitting down there and it's like this waiting for them and they don't show up. And I'm like, are they ghosts? What's going on? And just when you think you can't take it in another second, they walk downstairs. Hello. You're like, what the fuck is going on? And then...
It's so crazy.
You're like, will they ever eat? Then they eat. And then they're like, will they ever clear the table? Then they clear the table. And then that whole basement, you're like, oh, well, there's the...
Oh,
that's,
I know. Don't go in the basement.
That's the key right there. That's it where is. It all yeah. gets explained in that basement.
Right.
And
right.
the lady's like,
yes.
down in the basement. And she goes, mm-hmm. and so she goes down there and yes. really... But did you notice, do you remember what was in the washing machine?
It was his outfit.
That old man,
yes,
the janitor's
outfit.
Right.
His shirts or whatever.
Right.
Right.
And in
Thank
the beginning
you.
Of the movie, it shows him sitting at a table, which is the table that's in that house, eating the cereal.
Yes.
And then he washes his plate, and then he gets in his truck, and he drives to the school.
Yeah.
To be the janitor. And they end up back at that same house, the same table, and but that guy's not there. It's a different old man. So it's to me... I know.
It's crazy.
But it was good. And then those people dancing. What the fuck?
That's when it goes. See, like for me, I was pretty good with like, okay, this is like a little crazy. Like the mother keeps changing age. They keep changing age. And then also like kind of a little bit of personality. It's definitely a dive into her experience of Jake and trying to like understand who Jake is through this, you know, realm of his parents' house.
Don't you feel like at any moment she's going to like transform into a monster? And she never does. She's just always like nutty, but she kind of makes sense.
Which one? The girl?
The mom.
The mom? It's funny because there's an episode of, I heard her on Marc Maron recently, Toni Collette. And what she did reveal, which isn't like revealing anything.
About
is that,
this movie?
Well, she's in the movie. She's the mom.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Toni. And I love Toni Collette. I think she's like... I just fucking love her. So she's such a great actress. But what she was saying to Mark, who was like doing this whole, what the fuck, man? Can you explain this shit to me? And she's like, I can't really. Well, this is the kind of thing. She couldn't really say anything. He wanted answers. And she's like, I can't really like give it. Because she's the movie's out. And it's like, you're an actor in the movie. You can't like spoil the movie.
Right.
But what she was saying is that when actors work on a movie like this, like they're only really told to focus on the part they're playing. She only plays the mom.
Right.
So for her, what she had said was that it was a sense of like parents who are really nervous and uncomfortable and almost like protective of their son, but scared for their son. And so her whole manner of acting was like to be like laughing uncomfortably. Like she did that a lot. Like she'd be like, ah, that's right. Hey, like just like weird. And like, it was because her mother role with him was this like messed up role with him. And so she just was so focused in on what she was doing that that's like that all that mattered. So she couldn't really explain it, but it is interesting because when you make a movie like this, I think that's all the actors know. And then later they watch this thing and they're like, probably like, what in the hell just happened here?
Yeah. Well, what did you think about his bedroom? Now, from what I thought, it looked like he was doing paintings of posters.
I don't know.
Did you realize that? All the posters he had painted several times with that moonlight and reflection on the water.
Right. It was like, so but was they said that was her room? Painting. Remember, she was an artist all of a sudden. It was her painting.
Yeah, but it said Jake.
Right.
I don't know.
This is what I'm saying.
It shouldn't be that complicated. I mean, I get it. It's fine.
Do you think it's like too smart and too much for people to get and it's annoying? Like, do you think people just like are like, listen?
I think it is if you go with expectations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if I didn't have any.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't either. I just knew this movie's weird. That's all I knew. Yeah.
And then the end.
Yeah.
What was that?
The end is really where it goes into an acid trip.
What was that? Because they end up at the school, and that pig. Remember the pig that's walking around? The
Well, is he dies at the end? Right? Is that what we're assuming?
The pig.
The janitor.
I don't know. He's at
The pig to me is representative of him and something like. It's something that it must represent like death or something like that.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Oh, you mean how they walk down the hall together?
Yeah, like it's like he's like summing up the end of this.
But I thought he went and got in his truck. Oh, he got in his truck and then he got naked.
Right.
And then he went.
That's when the fucking thing goes like into La La Land.
Yeah.
And now you're watching like an animation of a pig combined with like a real thing.
It's
and
not
then
even
the
animated.
Dancing
it's
scene.
It's kind of this weird kind of.
You're right.
Drawing.
What is that?
It's like a like
it's
hand drawn.
Bizarre.
It was weird.
I think that has
bleeding.
Something to do with the pig in the farm, the dead pig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was crazy. yeah. I mean, I would definitely. I mean, if I would recommend it, I suppose now that I think about it. But it's bizarre. It's an oddball movie. Definitely.
I mean, I was just trying to read something about how he explains this, but it doesn't. This doesn't explain anything. What I just found. It doesn't make any sense how they cross paths with him.
Thank you.
The couple with the janitor.
Right.
So I don't really know. You know.
If you want to watch a movie that is freaking definitely a head scratcher.
Right.
I'm thinking about ending it. That's the name
Maybe
of it,
we
right?
can have some answered questions.
Yeah. Well, let
Why
us know
does
what
it
you
seem
think.
Like Jake can hear Lucy's thoughts?
Right.
This and is what
about,
you just said.
What about Tullytown?
In the opening sequence of the movie, Jake and Lucy endure an interminable drive. Is that the word?
Interminable.
Interminable drive up to his parents' house while Lucy continues to contemplate leaving him. On several occasions, Jake glances over to Lucy during her voiceover, sometimes interrupting it. Is he telepathic? The answer is actually quite simple. At the end of Reed's novel, it reveals that Jake and his unnamed girlfriend are the same person. Oh, shit.
What?
The lonely high school janitor who invented her as his fantasy. Think Psycho meets Fight Club. I'm like spoiling the hell out of this movie for anyone
Whatever.
Listening.
It
doesn't take
spoiling.
Long for I'm thinking of ending things to imply as much. When Lucy, as an aspiring poet, shares one of her verses at the dinner table, it's actually a sampling from Rotten Perfect Mouth, a collection of writings by real-life poet Ava H.D. Later in the movie, it's not even clear if Lucy's name is Lucy. He calls her Ames, Amy. Jake has built her out of the books, movies, and passing encounters that have shaped his isolated worldview.
So do you think those all
so
the
Lucy
miscalls?
Doesn't exist? Yes and no. The most sophisticated gamble of the movie is that Kaufman has taken this device and turned it into an open question. Can a fantasy exist on its own terms? What the fuck?
Yeah, well, do you think that's why they kept having all these missed calls from Lucy?
It's so annoying.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So are we supposed to believe that this man is a lonely man who made up a whole scenario of a life that he didn't have?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
That's very weird.
Which actually would make sense why he didn't want her to go into the basement. Because then it's like she would find out that, I don't know, it's almost like a revealing that he's just a janitor and there is nothing, that none of this is real. It's like, don't go into the basement.
Yeah.
It's like what people say, don't go into the basement. What's in the basement?
Yeah. Well, it didn't help that they put scratches on the wall and made it look like, you know, bad things go on in the basement.
This just made me feel crazy.
Yeah.
Just talking about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's all right. Good movie.
Tell me what your favorite scene there was.
My favorite scene. Well, I think that my favorite scene.
Maybe not favorite. Maybe like most memorable.
Well, I think that the part where he hands her the dress, and it's got like something green on it, and it gets on her finger.
I don't remember that.
Remember that she comes downstairs?
No.
I don't know. There's a bunch of there's a lot of scenes.
Wow.
I don't really know if I even have a favorite scene. Probably listening to her recite the poem.
The poem
is awesome.
The one that stuck out to me the most.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because he didn't write that poem. That's a poem by a poet that they just threw into the movie.
Right.
What's the most bizarre part of the movie?
Oh, well, Tully Town.
Exactly.
The ice cream store.
Can we just talk a minute about the Tully Town experience?
Well, he's like, you know, you want something sweet? And she's like, where are we going to find something sweet now? Oh, Tully Town. Is that what it was called?
I think so.
Something like Tully Town.
Definitely Tully Town.
Yeah, and they pull up and it's like they want to get a burr, which is a, you know, like a blizzard, right? Because she makes it and then she's like, I made them extra tall or extra thick, you know, so they did the flip them cup. Make
just
sure
like you do it like DQ.
Yeah, Dairy Queen.
Yeah.
And
true.
But it was just, oh my God, the two girls and they're like laughing.
The mean girls.
Yeah, the mean girls. And then the other girl showed up and she's got all these rashes all over her body. And
that's so weird.
And he won't talk to him.
No. And she's like, I'm fucking doing this because you wanted to do this with me. And now you don't even want it. And then he didn't want to drink it.
No.
Then they get to the school.
Well, and that's a good example of the same thing. He's like, let me just pull down this road. And she's like, I want to get the fuck home. God damn it. I don't want to go down on that road anymore. And he goes, just this little road. And they're down in the woods. And she's like, this ain't a fucking road to a school. This is a rundown road in the middle of the woods.
Yeah. She's like pissed and
scared.
And
I'm like, he's going to kill her, right? He's going to fucking kill her ass and throw in a ditch and freeze.
Yeah, I did not pick up this was a thriller to some people.
And then all of a sudden, there's the damn school. And it's this giant high school. And
right, it's there.
It's exactly what he said. And I'm like, what? Like,
no, and there's so many weird things. I just remembered one other weird thing is that when he goes to throw the milkshakes away, the trash can is full of them.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Right.
It's full of milkshakes from Tully Town.
Right.
The fuck?
Why?
I don't know. It's crazy.
Well, I first thought, well, maybe that he brings women here and kills them. But I don't even think he
You actually were making a better story than...
I was making like a psycho thriller.
And let's just sidebar all the way over to the old man walking naked through the hallway.
I didn't need to see that. Well, you know what? All I could think about is that what's going to happen to me? That I'm going to turn into that guy with that no ass and the fat back.
Yes.
Just, no.
There's nothing scarier than naked people walking in hallways.
No.
I mean old people. You have to put old people in that sentence. To the point where me and Stella watched...
Because it could be a ghost.
We watched It Follows, which is a horror movie. You should watch that.
No.
You should because it's about sex, so you'll like it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so you have to watch it.
I'm in.
And it's not that scary. But what is funny is there's a couple scenes where like an old man, like why is it in horror movies too? Like there's nothing scarier than an old lady walking down a hallway in a nightgown, like just
dripping,
coming at you.
Dripping.
Like, so there's something, I feel
some
bad for old people.
Dripping off of her.
Just some fucking old people are scary naked. Like that's sad, but it's true.
I had a lady, I was cutting her hair. She goes, am I too old for this long hair? And I go, only if you were floating down a hallway shaking chains. Oh, go ahead and cut it. I need more coffee.
Me too.
I'll get it.
Yay.
I'll get up.
Do it. Just keep your fucking clothes on.
I'll just take my mic stand with me.
Keep your clothes on.
I'm going to float down the hall.
All right. Well, I'm going to go. We're getting deep, but I'll go through a couple more things. This is actually a great interview that I found where they ask him these questions.
Go ahead.
The scene, and this is another one I just forgot about, where he's watching something on TV and it's like a Robert Zemeckis movie about romance and it's like super cheesy. It's like a fake movie. Do you know what I'm talking about?
In the movie?
In the movie, he's watching, while he's eating his lunch, the janitor is watching something on a screen. And
I kind of remember that.
And it's like a bad, it looks like a bad, it's, and at the end, it's like by Robert Zemeckis on the screen, which is a joke about like Robert Zemeckis movies, kind of. But like, it's funny because the movie's just a cliche. It's like a romantic comedy cliche. It's not even a real movie. It's like a fake.
I don't remember that. That might have been in the first part.
Yeah, it's really. Yeah, it's a really strange. Yeah, one scene finds him sitting in an empty room eating lunch and watching a movie on the TV. It's the final minutes of a cheesy romance set in a diner. And the credits come up just long enough for it to say, directed by Robert Zemeckis. And so it's just weird. It's like this, another, like, to me, I guess what it is like another throw-in of him fantasizing about love and romance, and yeah. He's watching that on his lunch break, you know.
Honestly, I don't know what to, there. It is so random and vague of a movie that I don't really have any idea on what the hell
I'm
gonna
have to. I'm gonna have to do. I'm gonna fucking rewatch it,
because the fact that you said that Ames or Lucy or whatever her name is really him.
You ready for the next question I found?
Okay, let me hear it.
What's up with Tulsi Town?
Oh, Tulsi Town.
Do you want to know?
Yeah. We saw the movie.
Oh, my God. According to Kaufman, they're all references to women that Jake has seen before. Then there was the idea that there were many generations of high school kids who worked there that he had interacted with over the years and had his problems with. It's a dreamy stop into his psyche, into his past. In the book, the couple actually stop at a Dairy Queen. We weren't able to get the rights to use that, so I changed it. But I think it worked out better because it's more mysterious and because it's more
local. We should
see.
Who's right? Is that the director?
They asked the director these questions. That
was his
answer.
We should see if we can get him on our podcast.
Kaufman, let's go.
Do it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, we can try.
Yeah, reach out.
Do you think we can lure him with Lotus biscuits and coffee?
Damn right.
Oh, is this for me?
Tell him we'll get him a burr.
Charlie, we've got delicious biscuits.
Cookies,
chocolate,
and a burr.
And a coffee companion.
I ain't nothing but cookies
You've
and a
You've had
burr.
How many of these bags now?
Three. Is there any more?
Yes.
Let me bring them out.
Dude, we're going to kill it. Is this normal?
Yeah.
All right, well, listen.
Dude, we do nothing normal.
Hey!
No!
I'm sorry.
You broke my biscuits.
I'm about to go in. All right, so I don't know if we can say much more about this. I don't know.
Check out the movie.
There's
Let us know what you think.
Yeah, there's also the Oklahoma thing where he sings.
Yeah.
Oklahoma?
What?
The hell?
I mean, they're dancing
yes.
Oklahoma?
Yeah.
In the hallway?
In the hallway. It's crazy. Oh, my God. Then the animated pig. The talking animated pig.
I like the other version of Amy, too, that dances in the hall. She's really pretty.
I thought that dance sequence was spot on.
Mm-hmm.
I love a dance sequence.
Love it.
Oh, and by the way, did you know this? And it was funny because I was watching with Nicole and I didn't realize it until she said it. But that closing speech, he says a speech. It's the speech from A Beautiful Mind.
Oh.
Did you know that?
No.
When Jake accepts his prize, he recites the sentimental Nobel Prize speech delivered by Russell Crowe at the end of that movie. So he just, in verbatim, says the speech from A Beautiful Mind for no fucking reason whatsoever. And I'm like, why? And it was funny that she was sitting there. She's like, wait a second. That's the same speech from Beautiful Mind, like literally. And I was like, why is that there? No idea. It doesn't make any sense.
It's a crazy-ass movie.
Unless it's just the ramblings of an old man's mind, which then it makes perfect sense.
Well, when it starts off.
That's all it is, people. Get on board.
So is that what it is?
Get into Grandpa's head.
Because it starts off in the movie with the old man having cereal at the table.
It does?
So maybe this.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he's like,
What?
He's a janitor, and then he's sitting at the table eating cereal.
That's from the beginning?
Yeah, and then he gets in his truck, and he's driving. So maybe this is all just memories.
I thought it started with her getting in the car with him.
Well, right, but I think it's pretty early in the movie where they show the old man sitting at the table having cereal.
Okay. I don't know. I did enjoy watching the actors, though.
Well.
Except for the car part. The car part was, like, hard for me.
Yeah.
Because I was waiting for something to happen. I think that's the thing. Like, if you're waiting for something to happen, nothing's going to happen, dude.
It felt like something was going to happen the whole movie.
Yes, it's a frustration.
I was like, he's killing her.
Would have been so much better if he did.
He is killing her.
Yeah. She's a great, great though, that actress.
Yeah, she's pretty.
She's funny, too. She's, like, awesome. If you want to check her out, she's also in the new season of Fargo right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's awesome. Have you seen it? Chris Rock, you got to check it out, man.
I'll have to check it out.
So it's on FX.
Nice.
New season of Fargo. They're always based on a true story. Did you know that?
No.
Every single one?
Well, I remember the initial movie Fargo was based on a true story.
They've had like three different seasons. Every time they do it, it's a different story of like some kind of murder or crime thing. And it always starts out with, this is based on a true story. So they find like some weird story and then they like do the same thing again. Chris Rock's pretty good, though, I will say. I was watching it.
That Fargo series with, who's the guy with...
oh my God, so many cookies, dude.
Billy Bob Thornton?
Yes.
Well, he does... So they have the original Fargo, then they did another one, a series.
That's what I'm talking about.
Billy Bob Thornton?
I think so. He was in one of them, I guess.
He's so good.
He's so good. What happened to him? Remember when he was like such a big deal, and now he's like, where'd he go?
Maybe he made enough money.
He did. I mean, he basically hooked up with Angelina, made a lot of money, was like, what's up, Hollywood? And then he was like, peace out, mofos.
No, he was on a series on...
was he?
Yeah. What was the series that took... It was like the gangster days on like Atlantic City Boardwalk. He was part of that series.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Steve Buscemi was in that.
Yeah.
Boardwalk Empire?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
I win.
You won. So he... Look at my bag.
We're a mess.
I'm going to take a picture.
This is a coffee cookie indulgence that is beyond. All right. Well, listen, I think I'm going to wrap up our review. Listen, this movie, like we said, it's a head scratcher. It's all I'm going back to. It's a head scratcher for show up. And here you go.
Give me a smile.
Here we go. There you go. And I think that it's a good one. So, whether you like enjoy it or not, or maybe you want to go kill yourself when it's over, I don't know.
You won't be any worse for wear, put it that way.
Exactly. I mean,
you might, like, you'll think about it, and if maybe listening to our thoughts on it will give you some motivation to create your own thoughts on it and let us know what you think. But
I think what's nice about a movie like this, what's a nice thing about a movie that's like this is that it's so open to interpretation that everybody gets their own take. This isn't a movie where it's so explained to you that you can be like, yeah, this happened. So this is a movie where you get to like insert your own, you know, viewpoint.
That's right.
And I like that a little bit.
Insert your viewpoint.
Well, Tom, this was a fun mashup. Did you enjoy it?
Absolutely. Always.
So next time you get to pick something.
Okay. Well, are we going to mash up a lot?
I mean, whenever.
I will.
Whenever you want.
I'm a masher.
Let's mash.
Well, I don't remember us ever talking about There Will Be Blood, but I guess we did.
We did, and we talked about Undone a lot.
Undone was good.
I think we, like, two episodes kept bringing that one up, which I think a second one is coming.
You know, we could talk about The Umbrella Academy, but I wasn't a big fan of that.
No.
Did you? Were you?
I'll tell you what you need to watch.
I want to start. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go.
I would like to do a West Wing podcast.
I have to actually watch it then.
So good.
I can watch it.
Nicole says, you know why I love it? Because it reminds me of what it was like when the good president was in the office.
Right, exactly.
Right.
But Monsterland, I'll shout out to on Hulu, is like awesome. And every episode is like a different story. And it's like really smart and it's like deep because it's about, it's not about monster. It's about the monsters in us.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, have a great day.
Yes.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. All right. So maybe this movie is so brilliant because it's not even about the movie. It's about the fact that we just lived it for 2.5 hours, and now it has become us, because we are now playing out several scenes in the movie in our own lives.
So
maybe the movie transcends time and space in itself. It doesn't just say it does. It does.
Maybe he's using the movie as a vehicle, as an experiment on the people watching it, and he's taken the he's taken the concept of filmmaking to create a whole different thing. Instead of something for people to watch and enjoy, it's to actually like what's the word? Like, he's making his own decision about what.
Well, yeah, it's like he's God and he's like manipulating us.
We're mind controlled.